When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we've had quite a program. Mack Brown joined us earlier. Fantastic conversation with the North Carolina coach, formerly at Texas. Let's get back to our calls right now. And Tony is in Austin. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to be brief. I don't like sugarcoating nothing. I don't like window dressing. So I just kind of want to get straight to the point. I love college sports, but I really do blame the NCAA for allowing the transfer portal in the NIL deal get out of hand in the beginning because there was no clear oversight and there was no accountability. And I think that now that it has gotten out of control, they pretty much lost. And I think I'm okay with people that want to transfer if those who are going into the senior year and not get enough playing time, it's okay for them to transfer someone so they can hopefully showcase their talent. But the NIL, it should have been a fine line where you couldn't go over. This should be that they allowed too much money to be put out that line. So it's like overbid. And now you're cutting out the smaller schools from having good talent because it's now it's turned into a sporting and a betting frenzy. And I think that, I don't know, could Congress do anything? I don't know who, but it should have been a fine line on the point as far as how much NIL deal should be made. And I'm hoping that something can be done because they're taking the fun out of it, they're taking the excitement out of it, but because the NCAA did not get involved in the beginning, let it get out of control, I don't know what could be done about it now, but I'm against it, 100% against it.
Tony, I don't mind Congress getting involved on something of a national emergency, of a crisis, something that was not predicted. But as you said, the NCAA had 10 years to deal with this, and they refused. They were afraid. Their lawyers looked like they just picked them up at a shopping mall, and they kept getting beaten in court, and they were afraid of more damage. And the people that are part of the NCAA look the other way. So they really got what they deserved. I know that sounds cruel, but because the NCAA didn't act, because nobody in college football or college athletics had the wherewithal to go and make these changes while they still could, why would they suddenly expect Congress to bail out something that's not underwater? As our guest a few minutes ago said, college football is the second most popular sport in the country. It's thriving. There are hundreds of millions of people that watch it every fall. 100,000 people are in stadiums. This is not in dire straits.
Well, because of the NIL should have had a cap. And because they didn't have a cap.
But that's a legal issue, though, Tony. If you're going, there's a real danger there without these players becoming employees.
Oh, but I agree that the players should receive some. A lot of these players, family can't hardly send them money where they can go enjoy a movie, et cetera. So I think the players, the coach is getting a lot of money, so the players should be getting some as well.
Well, Tony, I believe it's a free enterprise system. If a player is worth whatever he's worth, he should earn that. I know this cap, the reason putting a cap on, I think, will end up dooming it in Congress. Hey, thank you for the call. Really good point, though. Fantastic. Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Paul, is the sun ever going to shine again in Charlotte?
I just saw it a minute ago. Of course, I was looking at a golf tournament in Connecticut, but I could have been mistaken.
Well, listen, I've got a couple questions for you. The College Football Playoff Committee, they have no affiliation with the NCAA, correct?
Not really, no. I mean, there's some standard. The NCAA has some supervisory position with college athletics, but the NCAA per se does not have anything to do with the CFP. No.
Who does the CFP ultimately answer to, or who are they guided by?
They're primarily guided by a commission, which is headed by Mark Keenum, the president at Mississippi State, and they ultimately report to the college commissioners.
Okay, so the conference commissioners.
Yeah, the college conference commissioners, correct.
Okay, I've got another question about these kids in the transfer portal. From what I understand, there are a lot of kids that go in there and kind of stay in limbo. Do they remain under scholarship at the school they were originally at? Or
no, they do not. That is the risk you take when you head into the portal.
So they can ultimately doom their college career by jumping into the portal.
Yeah, the portal, I mean, for all this NIL conversation, the portal is really the more pressing issue.
Yes, I agree, because I think a lot of these guys think they can jump in the portal, and if they don't land somewhere, they pretty much cut their own throat.
But remember this, though. These college scholarships are not four-year deals, and you can run a player off pretty quickly if you don't want him on your team any longer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really changed a lot. I'm just trying to wrap my mind totally around some of this stuff going on. But I do agree, you can't cap the NIL. I mean, that's basically capitalism. I've said this before. If a young man can go out here and make money off his name, image, and likeness, I don't even see where legally even the federal government could stop that or cap that.
Well, they're going to Congress. They're looking for antitrust protection. They're looking for a number of things of which they're not going to get. And ultimately, the guest earlier said it best. They need a backup plan, because the first plan, 2 weeks ago today, all these people were in Washington, and what has changed since then, other than Congress is more screwed up than it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, if they're dependent on Congress, they're wasting their breath anyway, because Congress can't fix the problems that we have.
30 or 40 years ago, or even, but I'm not being political here, but we've never had a situation where there's more polarization in Congress, and it's not to anyone's advantage there to get involved in here. There's too many other pressing problems that are more helpful to each side's political wares. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in with Aaron in Tennessee. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
I watched the, I don't know if it was a podcast or the Rich Eisen show, whatever it was, but he made the comment that he believes that Alabama and Georgia should play each other mandatory every year, because Michigan and Ohio State play each other every year. And even somebody on his show mentioned, well, they do. It's called the SEC Championship Game. Roll Tide. But he wants them to play in the regular season. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that, sir.
Well, again, let's remember Rich Eisen is a Michigan graduate, and I'm sure that is influencing his better judgment in offering that opinion. I don't think they should be mandated. The SEC currently plays 8 conference games, and we're about to go to 16 schools. So they have not been in the same division all these many years, 30 years since the SEC expanded and went to division. So I don't think that makes a lick of sense. And quite frankly, not only have they met a number of times in the SEC championship game, they've met twice already in the national championship game. To me, that
exactly.
just sounds That's like what... a Michigan graduate pushing his own school. And by the way, Michigan and Ohio State are in the same division in the Big Ten. That's why they play every year. But Alabama and Georgia have met before. They don't meet a lot. They meet the same number of times that everyone else from the East plays Alabama. That's not part of the Alabama's permanent rotation. Now that goes all out the window this year, but until now, that's been the way it's gone. Jim is up next.
Paul, you are getting political. You hope you will get political, even though you so-called brother or whoever it was, you wasn't going to get political. But this is time to get political, Paul. I got a straight question for you. I'm looking at right now. I'm looking on Twitter. Benny Johnson tweeted 1 hour ago, breaking, resolution to impeach Joe Biden passes House floor, moves to judiciary and Homeland Security committees. Tell me, Paul, how far is this going now, or will it go anywhere?
Well, Jim, I don't need to educate you on how impeachment works because your guy has already been through it
twice. I know, but I'm saying, will it go to the where, to the core of the matter that they're pushing it to go?
Well,
they're pushing hard now.
I mean, the way it's structured is that to impeach a president, you have to get through the House, as you well know. And if the House votes to impeach, it would then go to the Senate for a trial, and then you know the rules of the Senate, the two-thirds. But I don't think it's going anywhere. That would be my opinion from afar.
Well, you do think it's now to go to the Senate, and there'll be a vote on the Senate.
No,
the Senate,
I don't.
Right?
I don't believe it's going to get out of the House because I don't think this is the time. I mean, based on what I heard from.
Wait a minute. Now, I'm not good at this. What do you mean?
Here's what I'm trying to explain because, for the division in the House among. I think the Republicans have, a 4 or 5 vote
majority. Well,
it's been
passed 219 to 208.
Well, first of all, Jim, that was not a vote to impeach. That was a resolution to move it to a committee, I believe.
Well, I read you what it said. It passes House floor, moves to judiciary and Homeland Security committees.
What has to happen, though, for it to come back to the House floor, the Judiciary Committee has to advance it, which it probably could if the Speaker wanted it to move out of that committee.
You're talking about McCarthy?
I am, yes.
Mamby-pamby, can't stand McCarthy is what they're saying about him now.
But I heard, Jim, I don't know which news you were watching. I heard on the news earlier that McCarthy is not in favor of this resolution. So
I don't doubt
as
it.
Long as he is not in favor of it, I don't think it's going to make it.
We don't doubt it.
I would be more concerned of McCarthy trying to keep the federal government operating than I would moving this resolution. But that's just.
Well, I can tell you right now, Paul, there's a couple of power brokers working hard, and I'll name the three of them. Matt Gaetz is an American hero.
Well, Jim, this is all great, but I don't think it's going to. Are you asking me whether I think it should or a prediction?
Let me make a point. Let me make a statement. Okay. I believe that Matt Gaetz is powerfully pushing this stuff.
Yeah.
So is Lauren Boebert, and so is Rep. Anna Paulina Luna. They are going strong.
Well,
they're going hard, Paul. They're going hard.
Well, good for them. I can't wait to hear more about it. We're up against the break, though, and we're coming back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Danny is up next. We continue on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I'd like to touch on a couple of things, if you'll bear with me and give me a minute. And I don't want to get in a screaming and shouting match. But yesterday, you allowed Daryl, that idiot, make a couple of comments, and you agreed with him. And then you turned around and shut a caller down for saying what he believed. Daryl made the statement that if Ohio State had have played Alabama in a playoff game and played them the way that they played Georgia, that he guaranteed that Ohio State would have beaten Alabama. And you agreed with it. But when you had another caller call in and say that had if Alabama played Georgia in 21 with a healthy team in Indianapolis, they would have beaten Georgia. They had just run them out of the stadium in Atlanta, had they not. And then turn around and have injuries and go to Indianapolis and get beat. They're leading in the third quarter with an unhealthy team. It's bias, Paul. It's simple Nick Saban, Alabama bias. I don't know if you've ever been on a ship, but in the hull of the ships, that's where the rats dwell. And any time a ship is having problems or is taking on water, the rats start climbing the ships to the upper floors. They're looking for a way to get off. They're looking for any kind of lifeboat so they can get off the ship. Paul, Georgia has been your lifeboat. You have made a living off of Alabama. Now Georgia's won. They've beaten Alabama one time in 5 attempts, I believe, and you've jumped ship.
Danny, I haven't jumped anywhere. I was simply reacting to something that he said. I didn't agree with every aspect of Daryl's call. I do believe Ohio State would have beaten Alabama last year in that spot.
Do you think Alabama could have beaten Georgia in Indianapolis with a healthy team?
Yes
or no?
It's entirely possible. But that we act like the team we saw at the SEC championship game would have been the same Georgia team that we would have seen in Indianapolis. I maintain that Georgia simply – and I blame Kirby Smart for this, because there was not a lot on the line. They were not prepared, and I think they would have been prepared the second time around.
Okay, fair enough. And I don't believe that you would have seen the same Alabama team that you saw play Tennessee if they could have gotten to the playoff. I don't believe that. I'm a Kirby Smart fan, not a Georgia fan, but a Kirby Smart fan, because I thank Kirby Smart for the years he spent at Alabama, for what he brought to Tuscaloosa. He helped bring championships to Titletown. Without him, we may not have that. Daryl even made the comment that when Kirby left, Nick and the staff has not been able to do anything. I believe we've won a couple of championships since he's been gone.
Well, I think you're right. Frankly, Jeremy Pruitt was not to the exact level as Kirby Smart, but he was also – but Jeremy Pruitt was an outstanding defensive coordinator at Alabama.
He was. He was. And I thank Jeremy Pruitt for what he's done. But all I'm saying is there's a whole lot of bias that it seems like everybody has written the man off. If I'm not
well, Danny, I'll respond to that if you want. You may not. I haven't written Nick Saban off. I said earlier or yesterday I thought he'd probably win another national championship. I think his program is still extremely high. I've been a fan of Nick Saban since the day he got to LSU, and it's not a matter of jumping off one bandwagon or ship to get to the other. I've also liked Kirby Smart like you have. I simply react to what I see in front of me, not because I have a specific agenda to be for or against someone.
Well, Paula, I'll say this before I hang up, and I thank you once again for taking my call. But there was a time when it was almost like Paul Feinbaum was writing policy for Alabama. There was a day in Birmingham, Alabama, at Hoover, SEC Media Days, and the show was over. It was the end of the day, and you and the other talking heads had brought Coach Saban on to interview him. And there was a clash between you and Coach Saban where I feel like you were trying to talk over him. And from that moment on, it's like you've washed your hands of him. So,
well Danny, let me remind you, that was in 2015. And I have been with Nick Saban countless times since that incident. We talked about it. He called me afterwards. And you know, we talked about it. It was over. I was with him the next week. And I've been with him many, many times since then. That's not the issue. I understand why you might think that is, but that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that I think about or toward Nick Saban.
Okay, fair enough. But I'll say it one more time, Paul. It's almost like the rats are looking for the lifeboat.
Danny, I think you ought to consider, though, as great as. But Danny, what you're missing out on as we close down, and I'm glad we're having the conversation, is that Kirby Smart is doing things that are very similar to what Nick Saban.
That Nick Saban has
done. And things are changing. Nobody is writing Coach Saban off, but we are watching something else happening in Athens that is significant. And that's all I'm pointing out. And I know it upsets some of my friends, maybe even Saban family members. That's not the point. The point is that I give my opinion. I'm employed by a big company to offer my opinion on everything that I see in relation to college football. And that's simply all there is to it. But I do appreciate you calling. We will take a short break, and we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So the headline says it all. Lane Kiffin has college football's deepest QB room. Does it matter? Does he have a starter? Does he have too many quarterbacks? These are all questions that are cliche, but let's check in with David Eckhart and find out a little bit more about it. David, thank you for hopping on board. Good afternoon, and let's talk about what the quarterback room looks like and who is most likely to come out of it as the starter.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, obviously four, now with the addition of Austin Simmons there, really talented quarterbacks going to be in that room. This summer and fall, Really, you know, I think the last time we talked a lot about Jackson Dart being the starter just based on spring and kind of the snaps he was taking, who he was playing with, all of that. As far as I'm aware, I still think, you know, that's what it looks like going into the fall. I thought he had a really strong spring. I think he's going to have an excellent season. That's where I'm at with this quarterback room. But Lane Kiffin just keeps adding to it. So we'll see what he's thinking before long.
We all realize things are fluid in college football, especially at that position. But why are all these quarterbacks committing and signing and ending up in Lane Kiffin's quarterback room?
Well, I think Lane Kiffin is a guy that you want to play quarterback for, right? And certainly I think there is some financial resources at play there as well with NIL and stuff. But, you know, I mean, if you're talking about college football offenses, college football offensive minds, right, who gives you the best chance to be an elite, a really good quarterback, I think Lane Kiffin's, you know, one of the guys in that top tier. So I think it's probably a pretty easy sell, to be honest. You know, as it gets crowded and more crowded, maybe it becomes less so. But, yeah, I just think Lane Kiffin is a guy that you want to play quarterback for at the college level.
Chatting with David Eckhardt from the Clarion Ledger, talking about Ole Miss. Before we talk about this upcoming season, I want to go back to a week ago and a day when we all saw the 24 schedule. Interesting situation for Ole Miss. A lot of really great games, but also missing a couple of games that have been a familiar part of Ole Miss football. What has been the reaction in Oxford to the 24 release?
Yeah, it's been interesting, right? Obviously, you know, that Vanderbilt game is something that has been there forever. It's also a very winnable game with respect to Vanderbilt. So maybe a little bit disappointed if you're an Ole Miss fan that's not on there. You know, and then Alabama, obviously, is the big one, right? It's not as if the schedule is getting easier by taking Alabama off because you're getting Georgia again that season. You know, like, it's not, all right, well, we're losing tradition, and in exchange we're getting something that's a little bit more manageable. That's not what this is. So, yeah, it's been weird. There hasn't been uproar, I wouldn't say, but it definitely feels different, which it is. It's going to be a different SEC.
Yeah, the Alabama-Ole Miss rivalry, it's so crazy that even when there was a time when Alabama – this, I'm going back more than 40 years here, but I remember a time when Ole Miss was not even part of Alabama's SEC schedule, and they played anyway because there's so much familiarity. But that game is gone, at least for now. Let me go back to the end of last season. I've had a number of people talk about Kiffin, the flirtation with Auburn. It now seems to we've all seemed to have coalesced around that being the reason why the bottom fell out at the end of last season. I don't know if that's true or not. I know Ole Miss looked terrible down the stretch, losing a number of games, including the home game against Mississippi State. What have you learned on that subject, and what can you share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think, was it one of a number of factors? Sure. I think, has it been oversold in, you know, the popular discourse afterward? 100%. You know, I mean, I guess focus is really important, but there's so much else that went wrong for them and down the stretch, right? I mean, they're just turning the ball over like crazy. Their defense, especially in that Arkansas game, just played horribly. And then, you know, in that Alabama game, they probably played pretty well and just lost because Alabama's Alabama, you know? So I don't know that you can point to Lane Kiffin maybe not handling that as well as he should have and say that is the only reason. I think that's flawed. But, yeah, probably a factor for sure.
Before you go, David, I would like to get your thoughts on the upcoming season. This is a schedule that is on the books, and it's fascinating when you look at it in terms of some – trickier games than you would expect it, especially a road game at Tulane early on. I know fans will like that. I don't know how much Lane Kiffin likes that. At Alabama, you have LSU and Arkansas at home. At Auburn, interesting rivalry there with the former Ole Miss coach. A&M at home, that's great. And then at Georgia and at Mississippi State to close it down. Give us your view of what the schedule looks like and how you think the Rebels will deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. I think ESPN, I don't know if they still have it this way, but a couple of months ago the FBI had it as the most difficult schedule in college football. And I think, you know, I would agree with that. It's at Alabama and at Georgia is almost prohibitive when you talk about getting into the upper tier of the SEC, right? I mean, that's just so difficult. Then you mix in the Tulane game, which, you know, when they scheduled that, Tulane had been to like one bowl game in 15 years. So that's probably not what they signed up for. But there it is, right? It's just the road games and the Egg Bowl is away from home too. That's hard. So, you know, you're going to have to win that Tulane game if you're Ole Miss. You're going to have to win at Auburn. You're going to have to win at Mississippi State if you want to be, you know, hovering around the upper tier of the SEC this year, and that's going to be really hard for them to do. And on top of that, you're going to have to win your home games. So just really tough. And, you know, it's almost a shame because I think this is a good Ole Miss team, and you just look at the schedule and it's like, wow, like even with the talent that they've got, I don't know where the wins are going to come from. But, yeah, it's a tough one.
Well, it's great if you're Lane Kiffin and you have that brand-new contract, but it's bad if you're trying to move up into the upper division, as you said. Hey, Manny, thanks. Great conversation with David Eckhardt from the Clarion Ledger. Fantastic analysis of where Ole Miss currently stands. We'll take a short break. We've had a lot of guests, including Mac Brown, but plenty of time for your phone calls. And just look down to one of the all-time Hall of Fame callers is on hold. Think about who that could be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
We will go to legend in just a moment. First, Bird in Georgia. Hey, Bird.
Hey, Paul. This is Bird, the landscaper from Buford, Georgia. How you doing, Paul?
Bird, great. Thank you.
All right. First of all, I got a couple of things, Paul. But first, I want to thank Kirby Smart. He hosted some high schools out in Athens yesterday, and my son was a part of the 707 down there. Paul, I want to put the world on notice for Joseph Curry Jr. He's a defensive back, 6'2", 4'5", 4'6" speed out of Lanier High School. Kirby gave some good advice to my son, and he's just been back working. He's a student athlete.
That's fantastic.
And I just want to thank. But Paul, I want to go ahead and tackle this this issue with the Alabama fans. Your last caller, Mr. Danny. Okay, listen, Alabama, if you want to play and beat Georgia, win your game. I'm tired of talking about 2021, okay? Nobody said anything in 2018. still Georgia. We're talking about Tua Tagovailoa and number six. I forget his name, the wide receiver. Everyone knows it is next man up. We're tired of hearing the whining. This is like, winning your game. Thanks, Paul.
Devontae Smith, by the way. Legend is up next. Hello, Legend.
Bird shoots. Elbow.
But he got to meet Kirby Smart.
Bird. Yeah, we got the Kirby Smart part. Gave his son some good advice when he goes to junior college. Keep your head up. So. But, hey, Paul, you know, when my brother was young, man, he was a hell of a singer. And out in the country, we didn't have a garage. We had a shed out in the country, and he became a part of a shed band. It wasn't a garage band. It was a shed band. And the name of the band was the No-Brainers. Well, the name became more famous than the band, Paul. The band never got out of the, it never got out of the shed. And years later, I asked him, I said, why did y'all call it the No-Brainer? And he said, well, we called it the No-Brainers because it was a no-brainer that we were never going to open for Lynyrd Skynyrd. We were never even going to get to the DFW. We were never going to open at the DFW. That's why we called it a no-brainer. And, Paul, when I listen to your show, it reminds me of that story. Because when I listen to Daryl, that's a no-brainer right there, Paul. Not a brain in that boy's head, man. JK, that's a no-brainer. Not a brain in his head, man. He couldn't tell you, he couldn't answer a football trivia question to save his life if he really had to. The lawyer, Augie, walkie-talkie, the guy that said LSU was bad because they swept the team and only beat them by one or two runs in the game. I mean, what an idiot. I hope LSU wins just to prove what an idiot that moron is. I mean, a no-brainer, another no-brainer. And I'm going to tell you what a no-brainer is, Paul. It's someone that don't really know football. Didn't you hear what two people said on your show yesterday? Correct me if I'm wrong. If two guests didn't come on here and say that Alabama would win a national championship in the next 3 years. Didn't you hear two different guests say that yesterday, sir?
You are 100% correct.
And why did they say that, Paul? Why did they say that? I can tell you why they say that. Let's lead it up to a guess what he had to say today. Over 90% of the roster is 4 stars or better. I can look at the Alabama roster right now and see 30 to 40 future NFL players, Paul. And I'm not lying. 30 to 40 future NFL players. I can look at the Elite 11 where Julian's saying, did I not tell you a couple months ago? I'm just saying, Paul, Julian's saying. You remember me telling you that? At the Elite 11,
he beat out the guy from Georgia that Daryl is bragging about.
Yeah, I mean, and what a no-brainer is somebody that don't realize that last year don't mean a damn thing. I will agree at one point. I'm East Coast, baby. When the season's over with, Paul, I move on. I'm over it. You know why? Because I'm looking to the next championship. I grew up in a pro environment. When you project a team 2 or 3 years down the line, you see a Brooks Robinson and a Boog Powell, and you add a Paul Blair and a Mark Belanger and an Al Bumbry, and suddenly you got a world championship. Well, I can look 2 or 3 years down the line and see a Caleb Downs. I can see a Ryan Williams. I can see a Julian Sayed. You can say all this bull crap you want. It don't bother me one bit. If you really know football, you know this Alabama team is loaded. This year, it's going to be loaded. Next year, and the year after that, it's going to be sure enough a damn monster if you really know football. I really know football. But these no-brainers that come on here talking about Alabama's doom, and it's just not the callers. You got guests coming on here saying Nick Saban's this, Nick Saban that. And let me tell Alabama fans something. When they stop talking about you, That's when you need to start worrying. Ain't that right, Paul? Tell the truth. In sport, when they stop talking about you, that's when you need to worry. There ain't nobody talking about Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers. There ain't nobody talking about them because they're irrelevant. They got us in their mouths because they know we bad. Yeah, Georgia's bad. I give them credit. We'd have beat their ass if we didn't have them injuries, but we had them. Give them their credit. They're due. But I'm coming, Georgia, and you're a no-brainer, just like that rock band. If you can't look at all the talent in Tuscaloosa and all the talent coming and think for 1 second, I'm not going to be in the mix for that heavyweight championship every year. And every guest that come on and say that Saban's this or that, Saban got a lot of good years left in him, baby. A lot of damn good years. And you're a no-brainer if you think otherwise. You're stupid. You make yourself look stupid, Darryl, JK, all these folks talking about the Saban's doom, Alabama's doom. We friggin' loaded, and I know it. And anybody that knows football knows it. Get ready. We will be back on top of that mountain again. Whoa! And that's the damn truth, baby. And that's the rest of the story. I'm out, baby.
Legend with the mic drop there. We still have an hour to go. We'll head out to Omaha, get you ready for tonight's winner heads to the College World Series final game between Wake in LSU. We've already had Mac Brown on, a number of other fantastic guests, and we will continue more with your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.